All right. Well, welcome to 2016 here at Hoboken Grace. Okay. So you're not excited about the new year. That's okay. I gotta challenge you a little bit on something here, though, because as we were singing through that last song, I noticed we don't, and this is really, it's a problem across the board here at Hoboken Grace. We don't move enough when we sing. But on a day like today, this is especially important because we need to heat the room. And so you need to move when we're singing, right? And allow yourself to get into it. It's something we're going to work on throughout the year. We'll come back to it several times as we move through the year. It's a little bit strange to come together today and on January 3rd. And as we come together today, our heat broke, in case you didn't notice already. It should be fixed by the end of the week because now they have school. They don't care if it breaks between the new year because it's only us. But then the kids come back tomorrow, so I'm sure they'll get it fixed by the end of the week. But it's interesting to come together today because the last time that we were together, it was 85 degrees in this space, and our air conditioning broke on Christmas Eve. I don't know if for those of you who are here, you might remember that. So it's just kind of an interesting set of occurrences here. It's always great to rent space. But man, as we come together today, I'm excited. I'm excited about walking into the new year. I'm excited about everything that we have to celebrate coming out of last year, and I don't know about you, but having that week off, it just gets me in this anticipation mode as we walk into Sunday morning and kick off the new year. And one of the reasons why I'm excited is because every year we take this first week of the year and we kind of set our course for the year. We lay out, okay, where are we going to go and what is this going to look like and what is our focus going to be. And this year in particular is interesting because we're coming out of the best year we've ever had at Hoboken Grace. By far the best year we've ever had at Hoboken Grace. And last year, on this very same Sunday, we came together and we said, okay, our focus this year is going to be fruit. Our focus this year is going to be fruit. Fruit as far as our personal experience of God. Fruit as far as how we're multiplying and allowing other people to hear this message of who Jesus Christ is. And that was our focus as we walked through the year. And it was amazing to see how that happened inside of our community in both ways. Because even as I'm looking out right now, I see so many of you, and I know your stories, and I know how your stories have changed, and just the incredible fruit that's beginning to show up in your life as a result of your pursuit of God. And I think sometimes when you come to the end of the year, we're usually our worst critics, and so sometimes you need to be encouraged by someone else. And I want to encourage a lot of you, because as you walked into last year, you decided that you were going to not just pursue God occasionally, but you were going to pursue God consistently. And you've done that. You've taken steps in that. And I think some of us, we get to the end of the year and we had this goal. And last year as we kicked it off, we said, okay, we're going to read through God's word. And we're going to try to spend time in God's word at least 5 days a week all throughout the year. And some of you had that goal and you didn't make that goal. You didn't make it all the way. And so you're kind of frustrated about that as you go into the new year. But the reality is that you made it a lot further than you did before. You pursued God a lot more consistently than you had ever before in your life. And I want to encourage you with that. And just the fruit that we're beginning to see inside of all these different stories inside of our church and our community. Even when you hear the stories that are showing up here on the screen from time to time, you see that fruit that's beginning to develop in people's lives. It's amazing. It's amazing what we've seen happen over the course of this past year. And then also, when we talk about the fruit of being able to share Christ's message with more and more people, just when you look at December, as we walk through this past December here at Hoboken Grace, and I know you're usually part of one service, you don't usually get to see all of what's happening inside of our church family. Throughout the month of December, we averaged on Sundays just under 700 people. I think like 698 people were a part of our services. The same weeks, so the December before, the year before, we averaged 444 people inside of Hoboken Grace. That's a growth percentage of almost 40% in 1 year. That's amazing. And that's more and more people. And the number doesn't matter, but the people matter, right? The people matter. And those people that were able to speak the truth of who Jesus Christ is into their lives. And again, that fruit that's being developed as people are hearing it and responding to it. And for so many of you, your pursuit of God has come to a point that it's never been before. It's amazing. It really is. It's astounding. It's an incredible gift of God's grace. And yet still, as we come together today, I believe God wants to take us to a whole nother level in 2016. I believe God wants to take you to a whole nother level in 2016. A whole nother level. And some of you are sitting there thinking, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, look at what God's done in my life this year. I think God wants to take you to a whole nother level this next year. And I think that he has something powerful that he wants to develop in us, both as individuals and as a community collectively, that he wants to develop in us that will take us to an entirely different level this next year. Even as it pertains to community. And I think Hoboken, I think we have phenomenal community inside of our church family. I do. I think we have amazing community. Whenever I talk to someone who's moved, they talk to me, man, I'm trying to find that community. I can't find that community. I think we have amazing community, but I think God wants to take our community to a whole different level. You go back to the dream that we talked about this fall of having a community where people stop hiding, where we're able to actually be open and honest with one another, where we actually believe in grace enough to show it to ourselves and to the people around us, not just to experience it from God, but to be able to interact with one another based on grace. I think God wants to take us to a whole different level as we move into 2016. But if that's going to be our reality, I think there's one thing in particular that God wants to begin to develop in us. And as leadership, as we've been praying about this and seeking God's face, just saying, okay, God, what do you want to develop? What is it that you want to see happen inside of our church family and inside of our community this next year? The thing that we kept coming back to and God kept drawing us back to is the idea of courage. Courage. And I think for a lot of us, we're following Christ and we're pushing ourselves and we've grown like we've never grown before and we're experiencing God like we've never grown before. But there are these fears that continue to exist inside of our journey and they're keeping us from going that last 10%, that last 15% to where we're willing to say to God, listen, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. There are these fears that continue to exist. And I think one of the things that God wants to develop in us this next year is courage. And community requires courage. It requires courage to let someone in. It requires courage to reach out. It requires courage to be known. It requires courage to have those difficult conversations. I mean, even as we talk about joining a dinner group for this next year, for some of you, it requires a tremendous amount of courage. It requires courage. And the truth is, this isn't just about community. Following Christ requires courage. Because, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but for those of you who are trying to figure out what this journey is like, I'm just going to give you the heads up on this. And those who've been on the journey, they'll tell you, one of the things you're going to experience when you begin to follow Christ is that Christ is going to lead you into things that are beyond you. He's not going to do it occasionally. He's going to do it all the time. And at first, you're going to think to yourself, oh, man, he keeps doing this. When is this going to stop? But as you're on the journey long enough, you realize, oh, okay, this is just the journey. This is what it looks like. He's just constantly leading me into things that are beyond me, that I don't have the ability to do myself. There are things that frighten me. There are things that intimidate me. There are things that I'm unsure of or I don't know how to do or how, and it requires a tremendous amount of courage to follow him into those things. This is the reality of what it means to follow Christ. As a matter of fact, if I find myself in my own journey in a place where I feel that I'm competent to do all that I'm trying to do, I begin to become a little nervous because I wonder if I'm really following Christ. Because one of the things that I've found is when you follow Christ, he consistently leads you into things that are beyond you. And usually in those moments and in those situations, the way that we communicate this, and it's true, usually the way that we communicate this is that God is leading you into that because he wants to create a dependence on him. He wants for you to be close to him. He wants you. He wants that relationship with you. And so he leads you into this because it creates a dependence on him, which is true. But I think that we need to expand that a little bit, because sometimes I think that can come off, or sometimes you can hear that as God wants to feel good about himself, so he wants you to be dependent on him. That's not the reality of this journey. There's so much more to it. There's this amazing love factor to why God wants for you to be dependent on him in those situations. Because you see, he wants for you in those moments, not to just be dependent, but he wants for you as you depend on him. He wants for you to experience his immeasurable power in your life. He wants for you to be able to experience his incredible beauty and love in your life. And he knows that you're never going to do that if you're just doing things and following him into things that you can do yourself. So he leads you into things that are beyond you, so that in those moments you're going to be able to see the beauty and the awesomeness of his power. How amazing he is, and how amazing his love is for you and for me. And so he leads us into these things, and he calls us to step into them with courage. Courage. There's one thing that we're going to come back to more than anything else throughout this next year. It's going to be this word, courage. Now, courage can be born out of a lot of different things. Courage can be born out of ignorance. For example, this past week, my family and I, we went skiing. And I decided as I was making my way down the mountain that I was going to hit this jump. That was courage born out of ignorance. Because I had not yet seen the jump. And it did not go well. My courage diminished very quickly as I got to the edge of that jump. And don't get in your heads this big jump. It wasn't big. It doesn't take a lot to diminish my courage when it comes to jumping. But courage can. It can be born out of a lot of different things, good and bad. It can be born out of ignorance. It can be born out of arrogance. And believing in ourselves more than we should. It can be born out of good things. It can be born out of brotherhood. When you talk to individuals who've been in the military, one of the things that they'll often talk about is courage that's born out of brotherhood. And they walk into situations that they never would have before. And you say, how did you do that? It's me and my brother. I had to take care of my fellow man. It can be born out of love. And you find yourself willing to do things that you never thought you could do, and you find yourself with courage that you never thought you had, because you're driven by the love that you have for someone else. Courage can be it can be born out of a lot of different things. But this morning, as we step into this next year, and as we look at where God wants to take us, I wanted to lay the foundation for us in the courage that I believe God is trying to develop within us, and that he wants to develop within us as we move into this next year. Because as God comes to us, he doesn't come to us and ask us to develop a courage that's born out of ignorance. He doesn't. As a matter of fact, throughout the scriptures, he's incredibly honest with us about the obstacles. He's incredibly honest with us about the reality of pain and the brokenness of the world around us. He doesn't come to us and say, listen, you can be courage, have this courage because everything's going to go right, and just expect us to live a life of ignorance. No, he doesn't do that. He comes to us and calls us to truth, but still courage. It's not born out of ignorance. It's not born out of arrogance. God doesn't come to us and say, listen, be courageous. You're strong enough. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't come to us and try to develop courage that's born out of arrogance. And it's interesting. He doesn't even come to us and call us to courage that's born out of brotherhood. He doesn't even come to us and call us to a courage that's born out of love. Which is interesting because I thought that maybe he would be courageous because of your love for this other person. He doesn't. The courage that he's trying to develop in us is born out of something else. You see it scattered throughout the scriptures that God is calling different individuals to this. But there's one in particular that I want to take you to this morning. A moment where you see God stepping into someone's life and calling them to courage. And as he does, he doesn't just call them to courage, but he begins to develop the foundation upon which that courage is built. I want to take you to the story this morning. It's found in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Listen to what God says as he begins to interact with this individual, Joshua. Now let me give you a little bit of context. Because as we step into it, somebody will be like, what is he talking about? Joshua is about to take over leading the nation of Israel for Moses. And Moses has been leading the nation of Israel ever since they left Egypt, and he led them out of slavery. He's literally leading this nation through the desert, and they're moving towards the promised land. But as they get there, God decides that Moses isn't going to enter, and Joshua is going to take over as the leader. Now, oftentimes we'll begin to read through the beginning of Joshua, and we think, oh, he's going to be the leader. That's a good thing. He's getting a promotion. That's a good thing. I don't know that Joshua looked at it that way. Because you see, Joshua had watched Moses for years and years and years lead these people. And he saw it wasn't the easiest job. As a matter of fact, these people were very, very difficult to lead. And so as God comes to Joshua and says, okay, Joshua, you're going to be the leader now. I don't think Joshua was like, yeah, I'm the leader. I think Joshua was like, no. Okay, there's another guy. There's Caleb. Because I think he was terrified to step into this after watching all that Moses went through. And he's like, I like being the second in command. I don't need to be the leader. You can put someone else in charge. It's okay. And then God begins to have a conversation with Joshua. At the beginning of Joshua, about his future. Listen to what he says in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. And I love this passage because God doesn't just, he's trying to drive this home for Joshua. He doesn't just say it once. He says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. And just a quick aside here. This goes exactly alongside of what we talked about on Christmas Eve, where we talked about how God doesn't expect you to know the unknown. He doesn't expect you to read his mind. He just expects us to read his word. So he comes to Joshua, he says, don't try to read my mind. Just follow me, read my word. And he's trying to build in him this courage. He says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. He says, this is my command. And he says it again, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And so he's calling him throughout this speech that he's given to Joshua. He's like, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous. He's calling him to this courage. And as he gets to the end of it, he gives him the foundation for the courage. He doesn't say, be strong and courageous, because there's not going to be any problems. He doesn't say, be strong and courageous, because you got this. He doesn't say, be strong and courageous because your brothers are counting on you. Be strong and courageous because you love your people. He doesn't say any of that. He says, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He says, Joshua, be strong and courageous because I'm with you. Be strong and courageous because of who I am. And you know that I'm with you. You see, God, as he comes to us, he doesn't come to us and call us to a courage that's born out of ignorance or arrogance or brotherhood or love. He calls us to a courage that is built on and solely built on who God is. And so he says, Joshua, you do not have to be afraid of anything you're going to encounter. You don't have to be afraid of the unknown nature of your future. You don't have to be afraid of any of that because of who I am. Joshua, remember who I am. And I believe as we move into this next year, that God wants to begin to develop in us a courage that's built solely on who he is. And I'm afraid that for many of us, because we love to put God in a box and we're trying to understand him and everything that goes with that, I'm afraid that for many of us, our view of God has become very, very small. It's become very, very small. Our understanding of his power and his magnificence has become very, very small. And when your view of God becomes very, very small, all of a sudden the rest of what you encounter in life, it becomes very, very large. It becomes very, very big. But what God's trying to do in Joshua's life, he's like, Joshua, look at who I am. Because when your understanding of the vastness, the immeasurable nature of God's power, when you begin to awaken to that in your life, all of a sudden, the other things that you encounter, they become very, very small. He says, Joshua, you don't have to be afraid, because look at who I am, and I am with you. You see, when you understand how big God is, it changes the way you encounter the entire journey. Another place where you see it, and it's one of my favorite stories. And I think it's a lot of people's favorite story, but mine maybe for a little bit of a different reason, is in the story of David and Goliath. Many of you have probably heard the story of David and Goliath, but the story of David and Goliath, it's an interesting situation because the nation of Israel is at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines have been trying to basically rob and pillage the nation of Israel for years, and they're at battle, and they're going back and forth, and they find themselves on the edge of this valley, and the Philistines are lined up on one side, and the nation of Israel is lined up on the other. And they're kind of at a stalemate because neither of them has the advantage. And they know that if either of them enters the valley before the other, they'll be at a huge disadvantage. And so they're just stuck there in kind of this standoff, if you will. And as they're in the midst of that, there's this certain warrior in the nation of the Philistines that comes out every single day. And he's huge. He's a huge human being. They say he's over 9 feet tall. He's just this massive warrior. And every day he comes out and he taunts the nation of Israel. He says, listen, we're in this stalemate. Let's just settle this man-to-man. Let's just settle this one-on-one. And you send out your best and I'll come out and we'll see who wins this thing. And every day he does this, the nation of Israel is just sitting up there and they're like, no one can defeat him. No one. And they just take it. Until one day David shows up. And David at this point, he isn't a soldier. He's just a shepherd. But one day David shows up and he begins to hear what Goliath is saying, and he begins to hear what he's saying about who God is, and he begins to hear how he's taunting not just the nation of Israel, but how he's taunting God himself. And as he hears it, he's confused. Which to me is the interesting, I love this about the story. David's confused. He doesn't... It seems that it doesn't even equate to him that the nation of Israel would stand by while this individual does this. And so he begins to ask questions. He's like, I don't understand. Why doesn't someone go out and fight him? And they're looking at him like, are you blind? Have you seen this guy? No one's going to be able to defeat him. But in David's mind, it doesn't even make sense. He says, I don't understand. Why would all of you stand by and watch this happen? Why doesn't someone go out and fight him? And they said, what, are you going to go fight him? He says, fine, I'll go fight him. And I think, to be honest with you, they were like, well, I mean, one less shepherd. What does it matter? I really do. I don't think they believed he was going to win. It was just like, well, I mean, no one else would go. One, it's not going to cost us that much. So they decide they're going to send him out there. And the amazing thing about it is David walks down into that valley. And I want to read to you his words to Goliath, because you see it. You see in David exactly what God is trying to develop in Joshua. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning of verse 45. It says, David replied to the Philistines, you have come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. He's very confident. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. David walks down into that valley with a phenomenal courage. But the courage isn't based on ignorance. I think a lot of the people who watched him walk down there thought, this kid's just ignorant. Or this kid's arrogant. His brothers, if you read through the story, his brothers just thought he was arrogant. What, seriously, David? You're running your mouth again? But when he begins to talk to Goliath, you see a courage that's not based on ignorance. It's not based on arrogance. It's not based on brotherhood or love. It's based on one thing. I know how big my God is. And so he walks into that valley without any hesitation. With an incredible courage based on who God is. And he knew, he's for me. Now here's the interesting part about the story. Listen. Let me ask you a question. Would you have walked into the valley? For almost all of us, the answer is no. For almost all of us, the answer is no. But here's the crazy thing. Listen, here's the crazy thing. You could have. If you had been there on that hillside, you could have. You know what the crazy thing to me about the story is? All of those soldiers, all of those individuals lined up on that hill, any one of them could have done what David did. David's success wasn't in the fact that he was David. David's success was in the fact that he believed that God was who he said he was. Any one of those individuals lined up on that hill could have walked into that valley and experienced what only David did. That day, David experienced the power of God like very few people who have ever lived will experience the power of God. Can you imagine what it was like when Goliath fell for David? Can you imagine seeing God use him that way in the power of God in that moment? It gives me goosebumps just talking about it. It's just amazing. And David experienced it. Why? Because David was in some way, shape, or form more special than the people who were up on the hill. No. Any one of them could have experienced it. But David was the only one who had developed a courage based on who God was. And because of it, he experienced God in a way that the rest of them missed out on. The crazy thing is, that most of us would never have walked in that valley. But if we had been there that day, we could have. And we could have experienced God and the power of God in the way that David did. Any one of them could have. If they had decided to live with courage based on who God was. And I believe God wants to develop in us, in every single one of us, in every single one of you who are here. And some of you are here, I know you're seeking out who Jesus is, and you're trying to figure out whether you can follow. I believe he wants to develop this in you too, because he wants to awaken you to the beauty of his love and his power. To develop in us a courage where we do not hesitate to walk into the valley. Because we know who he is. And we know that he is for us. And I know some of you are sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, no, Chris, it's not that I think God's too small. It's not that I doubt God. It's that I doubt me. It's that I doubt my own abilities. It's about, you know, I can't hold a slingshot. I don't know how that works. And there's just no way that God could use me. And I want to take you to a conversation that God has with Moses, that where God specifically talks to Moses about this. Because God, as he's leading Moses up to lead the nation of Israel, as he's raising him up, he has a very interesting conversation with Moses. It's found in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. It says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been. I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." And God's coming to Moses saying, "Moses, I want you to lead the nation of Israel out of slavery." And Moses begins to go back and forth with him. He says, God, you need to choose someone else. You need to use someone else, because, and as you listen to him talk, it sounds like Moses is saying, God, it's not that I doubt you, God, it's that I doubt me. It's not that I doubt you, it's that I doubt me. I mean, I don't talk very well, and I get tongue-tied, and listen to what God says back to him. In verse 11, it says, then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. And Moses comes back to him and says, God, it's not that I doubt you, it's that I doubt me. And God's response back to Moses, it's beautiful. God's response back to Moses is, Moses, don't think for a second that when you doubt you, you're not doubting me. Because in this moment, Moses is saying, no, I'm too weak. And God was saying, and remember, God doesn't try to build our confidence based on arrogance. He doesn't come back to Moses and say, no, Moses, you're a great speaker. You're a great speaker. You're going to be able to do this. He doesn't come back to him and say that. He comes back to him and says, listen, Moses, I understand you can't speak, but look at who I am. Don't doubt, Moses, that I can use you in your weakness. I'm bigger than your weakness, too. I'm bigger than your insufficiencies. I didn't choose you, Moses, because you're a good speaker, because you got it all together, because you're the one who's going to be able to... Look at who I am. I can use you no matter who you are. So go, encourage. I believe God wants to develop in us a courage, an insatiable courage. Whereas God leads us into that valley, and he's gonna lead us into those valleys. Conversation at work, whether it's a situation in life in general, whether it's a difficult conversation in our dinner group, whether it's sharing our faith with someone that we're just uncertain, he's going to lead us into those valleys. And we can be people who follow him 80% of the way, but then stay up on the hill, or we can be people who with confidence and courage, walk into the valley, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And we know that he is for us. It's exactly what Paul says. And this is going to be, we've never done this before, but as we move into this year, this is going to be our verse for the year. Because our focus is to be a courageous community. And our verse for the entire year is going to be Romans 8:31. What shall we say then about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? I believe God wants to develop in us, individually and collectively, a courage that is based on who he is. And my prayer for you, my goal in your life as we move through this next year, is to explode your mind with the vastness and the immeasurable nature of God's power. For you to be overwhelmed by how amazing he is, to stand in awe of him, complete awe of him, and at the same time to know, as Paul knows, as Paul says to all of us, we don't have to run from it. We can run to it. Because not only is he immeasurably powerful, but he is for us. As a matter of fact, there's something that I want for you to write down. Jot it down on your notes, and I want you to write it and put it somewhere that you're going to see it every day for the rest of the year. Put it somewhere that you're going to see it every day for the rest of the year. Now we've taken this word God, and for some reason it no longer communicates to us the power that I believe we need to understand about him. And so here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to just write down that God is for me. This is what I want for you to look at every single day. I want for you to look at the truth that the most powerful being in existence is for me. And for you to see that every single day, the most powerful being in existence is for me. You see, when our understanding of God's power becomes very small, we become afraid of the things in the world around us. We become afraid of the valley. But when our understanding of God's power, when we begin to awaken to it, there's no hesitation in walking into the valley. My greatest fear in life, is that I'll get to the end and find out that I spent my life standing on the hill when I could have walked into the valley. My greatest fear. I believe God, in our lives this year, wants to take us off the hill and for us to experience his immeasurable power as we courageously follow him into the valley. May that be our story. May we follow him with courage because of who he is. Will you pray with me? Father, I just pray, I pray that you would awaken us to just, even just a glimpse of your power, that we would be able to see, just how immeasurable it is, how vast it is, how magnificent it is. Father, I think of John in the book of Revelation, in that moment when he saw you for who you are, And I have to imagine that from that moment on, he was never afraid of anything again. Father, we want to be a people who follow you into the valley. No matter what the obstacle is, no matter what we find at the bottom, to follow you with courage, because we know that there's nothing and no one more powerful than you, and you are for us. Because of what Jesus did on that cross, and we gave his life, that you are for us. In Jesus' name, amen.